is good, everybody. Welcome to the Gold Diggers podcast, part of the Niners Nation podcast network. I am Rob Stats Guerrero, flying solo today. Michelle Majuk is traveling for the New Year's Eve holiday, so you are stuck with me. Might be a little shorter edition of the program today, but we're still going to have a lot of good stuff for you. Before we get started, as always, I want to remind you, please rate, review, and follow the Niners Nation podcast network. I always say, if you take the time to leave a review, we take the time to read it on the show. And I did not know this, but I'm learning now that international reviews go to a separate international space. So I can't just check Apple Podcasts and see what the international folks are saying about the show. So I got a direct message from Graham Masson, who is in Scotland, and we very much appreciate it. Thank you. Here's his review. He lives in Scotland. He had no connection to the 49ers whatsoever until they started showing the broadcast in the early 80s. So he's been watching the 49ers, how could you not, in the 80s, team of the 80s. He says, I discovered Niners Nation podcast, and the Niners are now a 24/7 obsession. Levin and Stats are like my mates down at the pub, angry, happy, critical, admiring, depending on what this crazy up-and-down team is doing. They cut through the happy, clapping BS if needed, but have a love for the team you can't fake. It's a shame I missed the instant reacts immediately post-game due to being 8 hours ahead in Scotland. Yeah, time zones suck. But you can always download that as a podcast. It's always up for you the night of the game, so don't worry about that, Graham. He says, the other contributors are also great and bring their own slant. Akash and Kyle are fantastic analysts and make me a more clued-up fan. Special mention to Michelle and her extremely knowledgeable and an objective voice on the Niners. The only downside is she has me caring about the Steelers, and that's not right. Thanks for all you do. Here for the six, but hurry up. I'm not getting any younger. Graham, thank you very much. We appreciate the review. It's so cool to me that you could live on the other side of the planet and still be locked into the Niners. We appreciate it. We love it. And that is why we do what we do. And I just want to thank everybody out there because we set a goal of 1 million downloads for the Niners Nation podcast network this year. And we absolutely crushed that. We beat that in November. We are hundreds of thousands of downloads past that. And that is thanks to you. We cannot thank you enough for your support. And I need to thank the entire team. Leo Luna, Javier Vega, Akash Anavarathan, Kyle Posey, Levin Black, and of course, Michelle Majuk. I have a kick-ass team here. And I could not be more proud of the work that everybody has done this year. We are killing it, and I am so, so happy to work with this amazing team. And a big reason why is because of your five-star ratings and reviews. So please, please, please keep them coming. Okay, let's get to a few things on today's show. There's some things I want to react to, conversations I've been having with people on Twitter, and also some audio from the team that I want to play for you specifically about the Texans game on Sunday. Let's start with just the general discussion that I've been having probably over the past 2 or 3 days on Twitter. This is going to be Trey Lance's second professional start, and some people are not really happy about it. A lot of you think that the Niners should try and go with Jimmy Garoppolo anyway, even though his hand does not work. And I tweeted this, and a lot of you got mad at me. So here's the tweet. I'll read it, and then we can get into why I think people are having the kind of reaction that I think they're having. Quote, I have no idea what Jimmy Garoppolo did to earn the kind of undying blind loyalty that some in the 49ers fan base have in him. One average year that saw him carried to the Super Bowl has apparently earned him a job forever, regardless of how bad he plays. You would have thought I said that we should melt all the ice cream in the world and outlaw chocolate. Like, people have been coming at me on Twitter for days about this. And in all the discussions slash arguments that I have had about this, I think it all boils down to one basic thing. And that's fear. A lot of you are afraid that if the 49ers move off of Jimmy Garoppolo, we will go back to the bad old days, right? And some of you know what I'm talking about. Tim Rattay, Sean Hill. I love this guy, but he just wasn't the right quarterback for us. JT O'Sullivan, Brian Hoyer, Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard. Look, I get it. I get it. I was there with you, okay? I lived through those days. I remember going into the year thinking, hey, maybe JT O'Sullivan's going to be the answer. Like, I was right there with you. I have survived those days. But here's the thing. Nobody wants to go back there, right? We all get that. No one, even the people rooting for Trey Lance to start like I have since he was drafted, nobody wants to go back to the bad old days. But you can't let fear make your decisions for you, right? Like, that's not how you can live. You can't say, well, I know Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy, but if we move on from him, it might get worse, so we have to keep him forever. Like, that doesn't make sense. You can't stick with something you know doesn't work just because something else that you try might not also work. That's a recipe for failure. You will never get anywhere if you follow that in your life. Just apply it to your life, right? If you're in a job that is not good enough, right, that doesn't make you happy, that doesn't pay you enough money to let you live the kind of life you want to live, you can't stay there forever just because if you get another job, you might not make the money you want to make, or it might not make you as happy, because you're just guaranteeing that you are going to be miserable. I get that it's a risk. I get that. 100% it's a risk. I don't know that Trey Lance is going to be the answer. I have no idea. But I'm for taking that risk because we already know what we have and we know it's not good enough. And Kyle Shanahan knows it's not good enough. You see what he does at the end of the half when he's got time left and timeouts. He's scared. He's more concerned about a turnover than he is excited about potentially getting a touchdown. You can't have that. You cannot hide your quarterback. You can't coach and play scared. You cannot live in your fears, as Mike Tomlin likes to say. And the weird thing is, this organization, this regime, has not done that with largely everything else, right? They didn't let fear stop them for trading for Dee Ford, even though everybody in the world knew he was injury prone and had a back problem. They gave up a second round pick and they signed him to a huge deal. They didn't let fear stop them from trading for a left tackle who had a tumor growing on his skull and hadn't played football for a year. They traded with Washington to get Trent Williams. And fear didn't stop them from trading three first-round picks and a third-round pick for a 20-year-old quarterback from North Dakota State that couldn't play football the year he was drafted. So I don't know why they're letting fear now run the ship. The only reason Trey Lance is starting this game is because Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. If he wasn't, Trey Lance wouldn't sniff the field. But here we are, on that precipice, and there are so many of you that are saying that they should let Jimmy Garoppolo try and gut it out, that they should play Trey Lance if they have to this game and then go back to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think it's all because you're just worried about the bad old days. You're scarred from that, right? Like, we remember what that was like. But here's the thing. It's not like Jimmy Garoppolo is guaranteed to win the game anyway. I know he won a bunch of games in 2019. And I don't want to relitigate how valuable he was to that year because we don't need to get into all that now. Just look at what we have seen this year. Trey Lance has only started one game this year. And he lost it, of course, we all know that. But every other game was started by Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers are 8-7 on the year. So it's not like Jimmy Garoppolo has been a winning machine, right? So again, what are you scared of going off of? And so I just noticed that on Twitter, a lot of you have been bringing up Kyle Shanahan's record when Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't play. And I think it's all because you're just afraid that we're going to go back to not having a quarterback and losing a bunch of games. But you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't close the book on the Trey Lance era before it even opens. You can't say that Trey Lance had one start against, at that time, probably the best team in the NFL, certainly one of the best defenses in the NFL, and say, that's it, he can't play, he's not ready. That's ridiculous. He's played six quarters in his NFL career. We don't know anything about Trey Lance. And again, I'm admitting, Trey Lance may stink. I have no idea. Nobody does. Not even Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, even though so many of you like to tell me that they know best and they know everything. Nobody knows what's going to happen when he gets out there. But let's see it. You have to find out at some point, right? Otherwise, what's the point of drafting him? So let's go. Let's go. Play the kid and let's roll. All right. That was my rant on that. A lot of people have been hitting me up on Twitter about it. I've been arguing with people back and forth for days. So I just wanted to kind of get that out there because I can't fit all that in a tweet, obviously. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to play something for you. Texans defensive coordinator Lovie Smith was asked about Trey Lance, and he had a very interesting answer that leads me to believe he is not exactly sitting up at night worrying about how to prepare for number five. Back here on the Gold Diggers podcast. All right, before we went to break, I told you about something Lovie Smith said that caught my eye. I want to play it for you, and then I'm going to react to it. Here was Lovey talking this week about, do you have enough film on Trey Lance considering he's only played six quarters this year?
I think he started earlier and he played a half of an earlier game. So we have some video of him to kind of know exactly what type of player we'll be playing. There is a difference between he and Jimmy, but you know, we like to think that our defense is flexible enough. You get in the game and you kind of see what an offense is doing. And if you need to make adjustments, you kind of do it from there. But he has a different skill set. You know, he's more of an athletic quarterback, strong arm. You know, to get drafted that high, you know, we're playing a lot of those high draft picks that have great futures ahead of them. We just hope it doesn't really start this week.
I thought that was interesting. Like, for Lovie Smith to say, we know exactly what type of player we'll be playing. Like, he did not exactly sound too worried. And, like, Lovie is not a guy that talks a lot of trash. But he didn't kind of offer just the generic sort of puffery that opposing coaches usually do on game week when they're talking about the other team. So I just thought that was interesting. That stuck out to me. And, you know, Lovie's been around the league a long time. He's going to know how to change things up and confuse a young quarterback. That's just something that veteran defensive coordinators know how to do. And if you take a look, he's actually faced almost every first-round rookie quarterback this year. He has played Trevor Lawrence twice, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones. And in those games, those four games, he has allowed five total touchdowns to those quarterbacks and five interceptions. Now, it's a little bit skewed because three of those touchdowns and three of those picks were by Trevor Lawrence in week one. So that kind of skews the numbers a little bit. But Lovey's going to dial up some stuff, man. And that's why I think it's critical for the 49ers in this game to stay out of third and long. Absolutely have to, because that's when the scary stuff comes out, right? That's when the defensive coordinators really go into their bag to try and come up with stuff that confuses these quarterbacks. So that's where Kyle Shanahan's going to have to earn his money. He's going to have to come up with a game plan to protect Trey Lance and also keep the offense on schedule. And that's what you're paying him for. You're paying Kyle Shanahan to be able to design a game plan to make Trey Lance successful. And to me, the way you do that is you give him the same Jimmy Gimmies that you've been dialing up for number 10 for all these years, right? Give him some of those play-action bootlegs where you cut the field in half and you've got a couple receivers running, you know, pretty close to Lance, and he can choose the short pass or the intermediate pass depending on who's open. Give him some screen passes. I wouldn't even be opposed to some of what we saw last week with the Tennessee Titans. Give him some max protection calls early in the game. Let him get comfortable a little bit as a passer, right? Just let him kind of settle in, get the nerves down, and just sort of, you know, get into the flow of the game a little bit. I don't want to see just 30 straight drop back passes under center. That is not the way you make Trey Lance successful. And by the way, I don't want to see 7 or 8 design runs up the middle either. Like, no. Let him be a passer, but keep the training wheels on. It's his second professional start, you know? Kyle loves to talk about how scrambling has to be secondary for a quarterback, that your legs can get you out of trouble, but you can't rely on them as your primary weapon, which is fine. Just let Trey Lance's legs be secondary then in this game. That's totally fine. Like, if it's third and short or fourth and short and you want to use him, you know, as a runner up the middle with quarterback power, that's fine. But don't go crazy, all right? Like, don't forget, we're still one play away from Nate Sudfeld here. That is not what anybody wants to see. That's the bad old days. So that's what I want to see from Kyle Shanahan. Use the weapons around you, some short passes to Ayuk and Debo and Kittle, and then maybe later in the game, after you've pounded this terrible Texans run defense on the ground, maybe you can hit a couple deep play-action shots. That should be it. That should be the game plan. And I don't care if Houston knows it's coming. That should still be the game plan. It should still work, assuming the ground game can be successful, which there's every indication that it should be, especially when you consider that Elijah Mitchell might play in this game, and Trey Sermon is back. He's full go, according to Kyle Shanahan, which is awesome, because then I can really, you know, you can break out the two-headed monster, so to speak. You throw Debo in there as well, and hopefully that should keep you on schedule and prevent some of those scary defensive calls from coming out if you are the 49ers. All right, there's one more audio clip I want to play for you, and that's from Nick Bosa. He was asked this week about what happened in the Tennessee game, why he was double-teamed so much, why they couldn't really do anything against Mac's protection, and here's what he said.
We're definitely going to be ready for whatever. It's hard to say that it's going to work against what we got last week because seven-man protection is tough, but we definitely have answers that we're going to go too quick and show them that we have answers. I think we were kind of a little ill-prepared last week. We didn't expect that fully, so we'll definitely be ready for that.
That's a big red flag for me. Like, that really jumped out. Tennessee was down multiple starting offensive linemen in that game, and they, like, never thought that max protection could be a thing that they would try? How? How is that possible? You had a week, D'Amico Ryans, Kyle Shanahan. You had a week to prepare for the game, and it never occurred to you, like, hey, you know what? They might go max protect and just try to force the ball to A.J. Brown or Julio Jones. Like, how could that not have occurred to you? But even if that's the case, right? That's bad enough as it is. But even if that's the case, why couldn't you adjust once they start doing it in the game, right? Even if you never thought about it, once you see it on the field, you don't have any answers for that? Like, you can't figure out what we should do? I mean, D'Amico Ryans played. I'm sure he faced max protection as a player. I'm sure they had ways to counteract that. So it's kind of amazing to me that they just didn't get what they thought they were going to get, and they really had no answers to counteract it. Now, it's frustrating, but I want to say, well, I want to be fair. D'Amico Ryans is still a first-year defensive coordinator, right? And that's part of his growth. He's going to screw things up. The human brain learns best from experience, immediate feedback, and then an opportunity to incorporate what you've learned in the future through more experience. And D'Amico Ryans has never done this before, so he's going to screw some stuff up. That's everything, right? That's every walk of life imaginable. Think of your job when you first started your job as opposed to how you do it now, right? There's things that you have learned, things that you have screwed up that you now know not to do. I know for me, perfect example. Way back in the day when I used to work at ESPN Radio, one of my first jobs was running the control board, right? We've all probably seen what those look like. They got all the lights. They look really complicated. They're actually not that complicated. But you're the person when you do that job, it's your function to literally make sure that the show goes out over the air. It's your job to make sure that we are not just a bunch of crazy people talking to ourselves in a tiny room with padding on the walls, right? Like, I have to make sure the show goes out over the air. Okay, no problem. It's not a hard job, really, if you know what you're doing. But if you were like me and you hadn't run the control board for that long, and you're on the herd with Colin Cowherd, for example, and something goes wrong that you didn't even know about, it is a very hard job. And something went wrong when I was on the board for Colin, and the SportsCenter music just randomly started playing in the middle of a break, and I will never, ever, ever forget the look on Colin Cowherd's face when he heard that SportsCenter music, and he stared at me like, what the hell is going on in there? It was not my favorite day of work. But you know what I did after that? I huddled up with the engineers. I talked to them. How did this happen? What happened? How do I know if it's going to happen again? How can I prevent it? All that stuff. We went through the whole game plan. And you know what? That same problem never happened to me again as long as I worked at ESPN Radio. Like, that's how you learn. That's how you get better at what you do. You'd like to think that everybody just has natural skill to figure all this stuff out, but that's just not the case. I tried something. It got screwed up. I learned from it. I didn't screw that thing up in the future. And I think that's the same thing that's happening with D'Amico Ryans. He got caught off guard for whatever reason. Maybe he shouldn't have, but he did. And he didn't know really what to do. And Bosa says that they've got things now in place that they're learning to counteract that. They're prepared for it. And so I think you'll probably see some of that in this Houston game. I think that Houston will go max protect sometimes, I think out of necessity, and we'll see if the 49ers can counteract that. You would think that this should be a game where their defense is going to carry them primarily. It's not like Houston has a ton of playmakers in there. They are starting a rookie quarterback themselves, so hopefully D'Amico Ryans can be the one that dials up some of that scary stuff on third down. So let's see. It'll be a nice test for D'Amico Ryans. I think he's gotten better as the year has gone along, frankly. I think early in the year you saw he wasn't always situationally the best. I think we saw in the first couple weeks of the season, really, In critical must-pass situations where time was a factor, DeMeco was allowing way too many completions to the sideline, specifically to the Lions. That happened multiple times. It happened a little less in the Eagles game, but it still happened. But since then, I think you've seen him kind of clamp down on that. And I know people are going to point to the Packers game as like, well, he had 30 seconds left and they gave it up. I don't put that as much on DeMeco Ryans as much as I do just Aaron Rodgers going God mode. Like, he was insane. A couple of those throws he made on that final drive, like, you can't defend that. He drops back like 15 yards and he throws a laser over the middle of the field that's an inch over Fred Warner's fingertips for a completion. Like, that's going to happen when you play one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. So I don't put that one as much on DeMeco. But I think as we've gone along here and as you've seen through the rest of the 49ers schedule, they have not been giving up those plays in crucial times where people are able to get out of bounds and stop the clock. I think DeMeco's done a better job of that. But he had to screw it up early in this season and then adjust. So we'll see how DeMeco does this week with the pass rush. The Niners D-line has been kind of getting after it lately, so hopefully they can keep that going. Look, in a perfect world, the game plan for the 49ers is this. They run the ball, they run it early, they have great success running it. Trey Lance can basically just hurt the defense with some play actions and some easy reads. If he gets into a situation that he wasn't expecting, maybe he can use his feet to run out of it, and the 49ers get a multiple score lead early in this game. That is the ideal situation. Then that would enable the defense to get at Davis Mills a little bit, to let those pass rushers like Nick Bosa eat a little bit and force them to sort of be one-dimensional. And that's exactly what the 49ers want because that's how their defense is built to stop you. So that is the ideal game plan. You don't want a game plan where Trey Lance is going to have to bring the team down the two-minute drill before the end of the half because they're losing, or the two-minute drill at the end of the game. He doesn't have a ton of experience in that yet. He barely had to do it in college because they were always kicking the tar out of people, so it was never really an issue. Obviously, it's going to be a thing in the NFL, but he's not going to be totally ready for that in his second professional start. So the perfect game script, get a lead early, double digits, and then when the 49ers have the ball, they can just run with that lead. Hopefully keep the chains moving and milk the clock at the same time. That's the goal. That is the perfect way to go. If everything goes the way the Niners wanted to, that's what you're going to see on Sunday. And remember, the Niners can clinch. If they win and the Saints lose against the Panthers, the 49ers clinch a playoff spot, which to me, if they clinch, I would play Trey Lance again in week 18 against the Rams, because it's a perfect way to get him experience without having to worry about the outcome of the game. And seeding could be a thing, I know, but like, whatever. To me, getting Trey Lance another game of experience, especially against a division rival, especially against a team that you know he's going to have to face multiple times in his career, the Rams are not going anywhere. I would love that situation for him. I know they're tough. I know the defense is tough. Like, they're a very, very good team, but like, you drafted this guy to beat those good teams. So it would be the perfect scenario for me if the Niners win and clinch, and then they can play Lance again in week 18. That would be phenomenal. I have no idea if that's what the plan is going to be. I'm hearing a ton of different things. I'm hearing maybe that is the plan. Maybe they're going to try and throw Jimmy Garoppolo back in there. Maybe the plan depends on what happens in this game. Tim Kawakami had an article in The Athletic that said the 49ers could have a super secret playoff quarterback plan where they flip-flop guys in and out. It's crazy. It's crazy. But let's start with this week. Just start with this week against Houston. Go out, handle your business. Don't get anybody hurt, right? That's the other thing. Please, please, please keep everybody healthy. And let's just get this win and then see what happens. Maybe the Saints win and then week 18 becomes a whole other thing, but let's just take care of what you can control and let's see what happens. Again, I want to thank everybody for your support all year for the Niners Nation Podcast Network. We are so, so grateful, and we are going to do everything we can to have an even better year in 2022. I want to remind everybody, please rate, review, follow the Niners Nation Podcast Network. Spotify has reviews now. So if you haven't rated us and reviewed us on Spotify, please, please, please do that. It's greatly appreciated. We always say, you take the time to leave a review and we will take the time to leave it on the show. I hope everybody has a great New Year's Eve tonight. Please be careful, be safe. If you are somewhere and you find yourself needing a ride or needing to get somewhere quickly and you've had a few drinks, do not get behind the wheel of a car. There are numbers that you can call that will give you a ride for free. For free. I encourage everybody to take advantage of those. One of those is 855-2-TOW-2-GO. 855-2-TOW-2-GO. That's AAA. They will give you a ride. So let's take care of each other. But we don't need any more tragedy in 2021 or to start off 2022. Enjoy the night. And remember, join us after the game on the Niners Nation Podcast Network, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter page. Myself and Akash Anavarathan will be doing the Instant Reacts show. Please, please, please join us for that. Thousands of you do every week, and we are so, so grateful. Let's keep that up. Hopefully, we're talking about Trey Lance's first win. Hopefully, we're talking about the Niners clinching a playoff spot and celebrating in 2022. Enjoy it, everybody. We'll talk after the game.